sound
are those of
Happy
the host,
Saturday.
Guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Slow down.
Happy Saturday. Welcome to Positively Healthy. This is the third Saturday edition, and I am Dr. David Paris, a chiropractor, currently working for the Veterans Administration, and all of the opinions are mine and mine alone. And today we have Rachel running the studio for us.
Good morning.
Rachel, will you handle the music?
Oh, of course.
Little, maybe Ziggy Marley's in town on Tuesday. Maybe a little reggae if you can find it.
Oh, I love me some reggae. You got it.
Yeah, me too. And today I would like to welcome our guests, Dr. Robert Coronado with Northern Heart and Vascular Institute and Rosa Soto.
Soto, that's correct.
Soto. It has an I in it.
It has an I in it just to throw everybody off.
It did. It threw me off. And Rosa Soto, RN, and the Director of Operations at Northern Vascular Heart Institute. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having us here.
Yeah, thanks, Dr. Paris, for having us.
So first thing I'd like to do is let's get to know you both a little bit. Dr. Coronado, let's go back. I like to go back a little ways. I like to kind of get a feel for how you got here and what brought you to Reading, et cetera.
Sure. I was going to let the lady go first, but I'll take a stab at it. I'm a cardiologist, as you all know. Been here now for, nearly 8 years in November. Rosa and I came out here and founded Northern Heart and Vascular Institute was that 2004, Rosa?
It was in 2004, that's correct.
So I've been, like most of the Army kids, I've been all over the place. Cardiologists, as you know, go through a lot of training, as do many professionals. But our particular training takes us through internship, which may or may not be at the same place you went to medical school. We do a residency as well, which can always change location and usually does. And then we do a fellowship, which in cardiology is 3 years. And then we do more fellowships or specialties like I did in the field of cardiovascular medicine, which takes us to different places. So in summary, those places include Michigan, Arizona, Sacramento at UC Davis, and back to Louisiana to Louisiana, and then back to California. So we initially – sorry about the long-winded answer. I'm trying to be as brief as I can.
No. We want long-winded.
Well, I finished my training in the field of coronary intervention and vascular intervention, which is the peripheral arteries, the arteries outside of the heart, in Louisiana. And then I got married at the same time that I moved to California. And I was in Modesto for – what was that, Rosa?
We were there for about 6 years, actually.
And that's where that's where Rosa and I met. She was working for the same corporation that I was hired onto, and then we saw an opportunity in Reading, and leaving out a lot of details, we were here in 2004.
Fantastic. And so you guys have been working together for how long?
We've been together for 13 years, so my story isn't as fascinating. I didn't, run all over the country getting all kinds of training, but I was a nurse working in the hospital setting, had a new baby and needed a little change of pace, so I came to an office setting, and that's where I met Dr. Coronado. He was right out of fellowship, and, we built what I thought, and I think he thought was a pretty great practice. We did a lot of community sort of awareness, like we do here. And when the opportunity came up to Reading, I was lucky enough to be invited to come along. I forced myself to come along. I don't know. But here we are, and it's been a great opportunity. I think when we came up here and we were thrown around the idea, it was this beautiful, one of those beautiful Reading days where there's not a cloud in the sky and you can see Mount Shasta snow-capped in the distance. And it was just, how can you say no to that? So we ended up here, I guess now 7 years ago, almost eight.
So a lot like today, beautiful day in Reading, a little warm. So we're going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, I might reach back even further and maybe find out, where were you before Modesto? So when we come back, this is KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta, Reading, the home of Free Fire Media.
Today, most beef and poultry products come from factory farms, from animals raised in confinement,
fed antibiotics in genetically modified organisms. Fortunately, there's a local source of humanely raised grass-fed beef, organic chickens, and pastured free-range eggs. The Martin family at the Lazy 69 Ranch near Round Mountain wants you to get back in touch with your food and your farmer. Look for Lazy 69 products at Orchard Nutrition, Holiday Market, Sunset Market, or online at lazy69ranch.com.
Three little words that will change your life forever. You have cancer. You also have choices. At Pace Cancer Center, we believe that the battle against cancer can be fought with a positive attitude, care, and excellent medicine. Dr. Pramila Dhanuka is a board-certified oncologist, and she is offering the highest level of care for cancer patients for over 10 years. At Pace, you'll discover why hundreds of local cancer survivors have chosen Pace Cancer Center for treatment. To learn more about your choices available at Pace Cancer Center, call 247-1425.
Hello, this is Mark with SuperClean. You're probably already aware that black mold can be a major health risk to your family and pets, but did you know that much of this bacteria can enter your home from your shoes coming in contact with your own moldy sidewalks and driveways? SuperClean's cleaning and treatment process can wipe out dangerous mold and those ugly black stains, bringing back that super clean look. So call us at 339-5882. That's 339-5882 for a free estimate and get super clean.
Hey, it's Rachel Lane with KCNR 1460 AM inviting you to join us Sundays at 4 for The Kitchen Sink. It's a show about everything and the kitchen sink. We'll be discussing everything from parenting to science, arts, culture, music, and we'll be highlighting some very important community members right here Sundays at 4 o'clock. Please join us every Sunday 4 to 5 right here on 1460 AM and KCNR1460.com. It's The Kitchen Sink with me, Rachel Lane, on Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back. This is Positively Healthy, third Saturday edition. And right now we are joined by Dr. Robert Coronado and Rosa Soto, Director of Operations from Northern Vascular Health Institute. And Rosa, now you have an interesting background prior to becoming a nurse and prior to your working years. So start from the beginning. I mean the real beginning.
Well, you know, my parents are, you know, I am a first generation immigrant. My parents immigrated from the Azores. For those of you not familiar with the Azores, which is probably a lot of people, it's a group of islands off of the coast of Portugal. And so, you know, like the good old American dream, they packed up the kids, some suitcases and, you know, had some family out here and came to build a better life, you know, the typical, you know, immigrant story. So I was two. I had three older brothers, you know, ranging from, I think the oldest was 10. And my dad went to the dairy business in the Central Valley. So I grew up in the Central Valley of California, grew up on a dairy, you know, great, you know, set some, you know, great values of, you know, integrity, hard work, and, you know, just realizing your dreams. So I was actually a business major. I started out, you know, going to school, you know, working toward my business degree and just really, you know, didn't feel fulfilled. I felt like I wanted to, at the end of the day, make a difference. And what better way to do that than as a nurse, you know, being a patient advocate. And so I sort of did a little 360 and went to nursing school. And lo and behold, here I am, you know, lucky enough to get to use both of those things in everyday life. So feel pretty fortunate to be here, and I guess I owe that to those, you know, brave people who, you know, took that, you know, adventure to come out here and build a better life for the kids. So that's pretty much my story.
Do you go back to the Azores? Do you vacation? Do you have family there still?
Gosh, I do have family there. I have a lot of cousins. In fact, you know, thank God for Facebook, because it's a great way to keep in touch with all of these, you know, cousins that, you know are out there, but you sort of lost track with. Now you know when somebody has a baby or, you know, somebody bought a new house or, you know, it's kind of nice to, it sort of helps you reconnect with that. So I do have a lot of family. I have been back a couple of times. You know, last time I was back was actually about 12 years ago, so I think I'm due. So it is absolutely beautiful. So those of you out there, you know, go online and Google the Azores Islands, and it's a quite a little hidden paradise. So.
And how about now? Any children in Reading?
I do. I have two little boys. And, you know, my parents, when I was in the Central Valley, they were the my daycare. So my boys, my parents still speak very broken English. It was very important to them that, you know, they hold on to their culture. So we were, you know, we had to speak English at home. So, you know, we went to school and we didn't speak English. So my cousin and I like to say, you know, hey, I knew her before we could speak English. So, so you know, my boys, you know, because my parents were with them, they actually do understand Portuguese a little bit and are able to fend through. So that's, you know, I probably, you know, need to work on that and make it, you know, more part of our lives. But they do understand it and they can get by, you know, at least asking for the basics.
That's amazing. That's a great story. And Dr. Coronado, how about yourself? Let's go way back. You
way
mind?
Way back. Like yeah. 50 years back.
Well, let's start in the very beginning.
Yeah, I was born about 50 years ago. I come from northern Mexico, just south of the border, about 3.5 hours, a city called Hermosillo. Born to a poor family. I was a very poor kid when we grew up. My parents were actually legal immigrants. They came to the United States via the Bracero program, probably something like what your parents must have done, because I don't think you'd risk it all the way from the Azores to have to get thrown back. But in my parents' particular case, my dad had he was part of a Bracero program, which basically was a worker's permit to come and work seasonally in the United States. And he eventually immigrated. I was about 6 months old when that happened. And throughout my childhood, my parents worked in fields, farm labor, every single fruit grown in Northern California. I mean, I've harvested, and not for a day, every summer, every weekend. Even on holidays, our holidays was going out and helping Dad work.
Is this in Modesto? Come to Modesto?
Yeah,
originally?
thanks for kind of orienting things. No, it was in Marysville, you know, about an hour and a half from here. And so we, you know, like Rosa said, we were exposed to hard work. We knew what it took to make a dollar or a penny. I finished high school very early. I was 15. I had just turned 15. And then I went on to college. That was the last year I was in Marysville. I really don't recall exactly what I was thinking other than I'm not going to do field work for the rest of my life, you know. And from that point on, went to college, and I have, of course, most of my relatives are still in Mexico. And I had a lot of support from them in the sense that they were very inviting. I wanted to be a physician since the age of 7. I did not see much of an opportunity in doing so here in the United States for no other reason than the money. I'm sure there were other challenges, but the money was the biggest one. So I went to Mexico, slept on, you know, I guess you call them cots here, just did everything I could. I was on the public transport system. I mean, I don't mean to dramatize it, but it was an incredible, even though we didn't have a lot of money here, it was a culture shock. And even though spoke the language, you know, you get on a bus where the occupancy on that bus is say 20 and there's 35 of you in it.
And to do that, and excuse me for interrupting, but to do that when you're a, you know, 15, 16 year old kid, that's crazy. I mean, I can't imagine, you know, taking on that kind of a culture shock all by yourself at the age of 16.
Yeah. I actually, you know, and I don't give a lot of credit, you know, we have a lot of good breaks in life. So you can look at all the culture shock and all that, but I had a loving family. I had an opportunity to go to school. I did it and finished medical school in Mexico City, college and medical school there, and then came and took the ever so famous medical boards, which were somewhat of a breeze to me at that time. All I did was study.
Yeah.
So that's me in a nutshell. The rest is all education, just like, you know, any cardiologist out there. I was lucky enough to have really good scores on my national medical boards, you know, honors in both of those. And then I got to select the top hospitals in the country and obtained good training and brought, I guess, the hard work ethic from my parents' upbringing into that field. And today I'm what a lot of people, I don't call myself that, but describe me as a workaholic. So good and bad to that.
And how supportive were your parents through all this? How supportive were they?
You know, very. First of all, very supportive. But I must say that neither my parents nor I were ever of the super ambitious, I didn't plan on being, you know, the best or that and that. I just had passion in what I did. And a lot of things came because of that passion. So my parents had a passion that I have a passion. In other words, they were interested in my happiness. And they were very supportive in that sense. But I didn't have parents that said, you're going to be a doctor, you're going to make $1 million, you're going to own a castle, you're going to do this. I mean, I didn't grow up like that. I wasn't pushed into it. And I think that's real important because I was given the support that I think you need, not the push or shove that a lot of kids today get.
Yeah, more of a grounding than a direction.
I think so. I mean, that's a good way of putting it. You know, a grounding and they always, my dad to this date stresses, finding time for myself and for my family. You know, I was unfortunate in the sense I lost my wife. It's the worst day of my life. She died of cancer, exactly 4 years ago. I have a little, 11-year-old boy now. He just turned 11 a couple weeks ago. Well, you were there. So that's my family, my little boy and I. I'm very fortunate, to have, you know, Rosa in my life. She runs everything from, that's one of the reasons that, you know, that I bring her to, all of, any event that's important because, she does run my life. The people that are close to me, know that not only my practice, which is my life for the most part, other than my kid, but everything else, you know, she has, control of my kid. You know, I work 14, 15 hours a day, as does she. But part of that 14, 15 hours a day for her, includes looking out for me in that sense. So, yes, I, you know, it's been a rough but fun, adventure, you know, some moments not, but.
Well, I can relate to that. I was very fortunate when I had a private practice to have an office manager that was, not only one of my best friends, but before you know it, they're helping you with, you know, just keeping your whole life together and allowing you to run around and do the things you need to do to keep the practice running. So.
Yeah, I don't call her my office manager, even though she does that as well, but I just call her, you know, CEO of Team Rob.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
Like, it is. Look out for me,
Rob. Sounds like this is a good time to ask for a raise. I just got a change in status.
Yeah, you owe me. You owe me.
You look at my bank account, I'll question that raise.
Well, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about your practice and what you do there and who all the services you offer. And I know you have something new going on there, so we'll discuss that. And we'll take a break, and we'll be right back. This is KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
What do you look for in a building contractor? Experience and quality, and someone who's reliable? Dennis Janeway hits the mark. Dennis has got more than 30 years' experience doing all types of construction. So whether the job is big or small, new home construction or a kitchen or bathroom remodel, call Dennis Janeway today at 604-6702. For experience, quality, and reliability, call Dennis Janeway Construction, 604-6702.
Legally Blonde, the musical, will be performed by the Shasta College Theater Department August 9th to the 25th on the Shasta College stage. Described as a non-stop sugar rush by critics, this Broadway and London hit will delight theater buffs. Elle Woods ventures to Harvard School of Law to win back her boyfriend and discovers that an honest, open spirit always wins the day. Tickets are available at the door or can be purchased in advance at shastacollege.edu/theater.
You've heard me say this quite often. As dealers, we all pay the same for these vehicles. The difference is what we sell them for. There's a reason I keep telling you this. It's because it's true. Because as dealers, we do all pay the same price for these vehicles. So come to Crown Motors and you'll understand why I say the difference is what we sell them for. Come see us or visit us online at crownmotorsreading.com.
Jay with Safe Light Auto Glass.
We know you depend on your vehicle. So when you have auto glass damage, you need it fixed fast. SafeLight has more glass in stock than anyone. So when you schedule a replacement with SafeLight, we'll get you back on your way faster. Plus, our work is backed by the only national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered anywhere.
Just tell your insurance company you want SafeLight or call 1-800-800-2727 or go to SafeLight.com.
SafeLight Repair, SafeLight Replace.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community radio for the North State.
Welcome back, Positively Healthy, third Saturday edition. And once again, we're joined by Dr. Robert Coronado and Rosa Soto from the Northern Vascular Heart Institute. And we were discussing vein stripping and some procedures and things that you offer at your clinic, and including percutaneous procedures. Can you tell us a little bit about vein stripping, the pros and cons, and then maybe kind of explain percutaneous for us and help us understand that?
Absolutely. Well, just a little background for our listeners. You know, the venous structures, of course, are very, you can look at them on the back of your hand, in your arms, on your feet, and those veins, you can smash them really easily. The way blood gets back to your heart is nothing short of fascinating. We know how the blood goes to the body. The heart pumps it there. But the heart does not pump it back. And you say, what? You know, how does it get from your feet to your heart when you're standing and the heart's not pumping it back? It's not. The way it works is that every time you move, every time you twitch, every time you walk, every time you use any muscle in your body, that muscle obviously contracts and increases in size, just like when you flex or stretch or whatnot. And it compresses the vein, which are very thin structures. You can push them down with your fingers with minimal effort. So every time you twitch and move, that patient or that person basically smashes these veins, and the veins have these one-way valves. They have no choice but to go towards the heart. The blood has no choice. So when these valves don't work because of either pregnancy or prolonged standing, i.e., or in other words, the effect of gravity on those veins, the patients get what's called venous vein hypertension, high pressure. And these valves, which are like little flaps that open in one direction, have that pressure basically defeating them, beating them, and those valves can no longer hold the blood up or hold it or keep it going in the direction of the heart. So the blood starts going backwards and gravity wins. Excuse me. You don't want gravity winning, because that's when venous insufficiency occurs. That's what we take care of. And how do you know you have it? Well, like I said, 30 million Americans have it. More people have this than diabetes. But there has been no good treatment for it. Venous stripping, which in our opinion is archaic, old-fashioned, and quite frankly, for the most part, obsolete. You should not be doing this unless the other avenues, the new modalities, have been explored, and there's just nothing new technology can do for it. So there is a very, very small role for it. When you have the venous insufficiency, most patients learn to live with it, and it's kind of sad. It's kind of like the back pain or the knee pain or the headaches that we learn to live with, not knowing there's good treatment. What do the patients feel? Swelling. You can have swelling because they're not draining the legs. So there's water coming out of these capillaries because of the high pressure, the vessels in your tissue. Then there are discoloration issues. You get these little spider veins, you know, these blue marks. Later on, you get the big varicose cords. You may have one or all of these. You may only have the varicose cords, and those are the ugly, twisty, ropey veins in the legs. If you have those, you should seek medical care. If you have any of these, for that matter, you should at least ask your primary care doctor. And if you have the varicose veins, I just go out and say, ask for a referral for further evaluation. Because even our primary care doctors, as smart as they are and as well-trained as they are, even some cardiologists, if not most of them, don't know that these patients need to be referred. And that's one of the reasons that I go out and speak at any opportunity I have. I was the keynote speaker for Veins at the biggest conference in the country, or the world for that matter, in San Francisco last year. I just got back from New Orleans, a similar thing, and we're trying to get the word out there. And of course, I'm not building a practice in New Orleans. We just want to be part of that, get the word out and tell people, look, if you have these varicose veins, these cords and so forth, seek medical attention, because that's what you see, the swelling, the discoloration, the ropey veins. But what the patient lives with, which could be pain, aching towards the end of the day, if you're standing on your legs, you got swelling, you say, my legs ache, they get tired, you know, I'm having symptoms. But the problem there, and the big key point in all of this, is that those patients say, I'm having pain, I'll live with it, give me some Motrin, it's all right, because it's not something they're screaming. But that stuff limits their activity. You're going to go to New York. You're going to go on a trip. They say, oh, God, I get my legs hurt when I'm walking so much and when I'm traveling and so forth. Or it could be simpler than that. I can't take care of the kids because, you know, they're running around and my legs ache. At the end of the day, I get tired. They translate it as being tired when in reality it's ache. They can have nocturnal cramps. bad cramps at night, restless leg syndrome, and a big array of symptoms. And I'm not trying to dramatize it. It is real. The statistics are out of the American Heart Association, American College of Cardiology stats. It's very prevalent. So what we do now, and you asked about the percutaneous word. The percutaneous word means that when we fix these, in the majority of cases, percutaneous means through the skin, we make not a single incision, not a single stitch, and it's all done in 20 to 30 minutes. And it's not a patch job. It is superior to venous stripping. There is no general anesthesia. There is no admission to the hospital. There isn't even a trip to the hospital because we do it in the clinic. Again, it takes 20 to 30 minutes, and if you work at, you know, Coldwell Bank, you basically get the procedure done, and you're back working in an hour. So it is nothing short of fascinating. So therein lies my passion for taking care of as many as I can.
So let me see if I can wrap my mind around this. So instead of the venous stripping, where in effect they're actually pulling the vein out, mm-hmm. right? They're stripping it out for those. You're leaving this vein intact, and it stays in place.
Great question. I'll give you the quick answer.
Sure.
Venous stripping, because the vein is leaking backwards, in other words, it's not working anymore, it is not a vital vein. It is just causing problems. It has to be removed or shut down because it's the root of the problem. So what the surgeons did before is they would open up and they would strip this thing out just as much as they could, but it's a crazy network of veins. So they got as much as they could and left a lot behind. And so that's and I'll get to what we do, after our break, but in essence, that's what they did.
Okay, great. Thank you. When we come back, more on percutaneous venous procedures. This is KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Too tired or busy to cook at home or go out to eat? We can bring the restaurant to you. Hi, I'm Jeff from Entree Express. We've been delivering lunch and dinner from your favorite Redding restaurants for 17 years. We can deliver to your home, office, or hotel room. Enjoy your favorites from 25 restaurants by calling Entree Express at 224-9791. That's 224-9791. Or you can Google Entree Express of Redding to find our website.
Hey, Mom, thanks for breakfast.
Yeah, honey, my cholesterol thanks you. Hey, do you need help here with the dishes? Because the game's on.
No, you go ahead. You know me. I live for cleaning the kitchen, especially after cooking 2 pounds of bacon.
I would have made him help.
Honey, did you say something?
No, I'm good. It's me down here, your drain.
Okay.
I noticed you're about to dump all that bacon grease down into me, and I thought you should know that...
That I'm going crazy because my sink is talking to me?
Well, technically I'm your drain, and yeah, it's a little crazy, but drains have feelings too, you know. That's why, as tempting as it is, dumping kitchen grease down into me can clog me.
Good to know.
Yeah, one more thing. My cousin Toilet wants to remind you to quit tossing your baby wipes or dusting wipes down him. It can severely clog our sanitary sewers.
It's true. Improper disposal of household items can severely clog our sanitary sewers. If you have questions on the disposal of certain items, call 224-6068. This message has been funded by the Wastewater Division of Reading Municipal Utilities.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we explore how technology continues to impact our daily lives. Join us, Bob and Brenda Belongi, every Saturday from noon to 1 to learn about the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, along with the breaking news that affects your day-to-day digital life. Boomer Tech Radio, brought to you by Advanced Automotive, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. That's Boomer Tech Radio, now noon to 1 on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Welcome back. This is Positively Healthy, third Saturday edition. And once again, we're joined by Dr. Robert Coronado and Rosa Soto from the Northern Vascular Heart Institute. And we were discussing percutaneous procedures for venous insufficiency. Did I get that? Is that correct? Is that a correct title?
That's correct.
Okay. And you were explaining that to us in some fine detail, and that was fantastic. So we kind of cut you off with a break. So why don't you go on and, sure. and finish that for us?
Yeah, so just a little background, 15, 20 seconds. Before, your gallbladder was a, 10 centimeter or 10 inch incision to be removed. Appendix as well, big incision. The uterus for a hysterectomy as well. Now you have two little holes, that's called laparoscopic removal. In cardiovascular procedures, the word percutaneous means we also don't cut open the vessel anymore or the tissue even to try to fix what the problem is inside. So getting back to the situation with venous insufficiency and these valves in the veins that don't work anymore, and therefore because they don't work and their job is to keep blood flowing towards the heart, because they don't work, blood's flowing back in the direction it's not supposed to be. In other words, towards the feet. Veins should always take blood back to the heart. When a vein is taking blood, when a vein is doing something other than take blood back to the heart, it's no good, and it will never be any good. It's just causing problems. And it's kind of like, just for our listeners out there, and a good example is if I have 10 workers putting watermelons in a truck, basically picking them up from the field and putting them in a truck, if I remove one of those workers and leave it at 9, well, they're going to take longer to do it. But, you know, it's really not going to be that much of a difference. But if one of those workers gets up on the truck, one of those 10 workers gets up on the truck, and while everybody's putting the watermelons on the truck, one of those workers is a bad actor. He's throwing them back down. So it's going to take them a long time to get all the watermelons in the truck so long as that person is throwing them back off the truck. And that's kind of what we take care of. That's an analogy as to when we have all these veins in the leg taking blood back to the heart, and we have one of those veins bringing it back to the foot, we need to fire that worker that's throwing the watermelons back to the field. We need to fire that person, no matter what our unemployment rate is, and we need to basically get all the watermelons going in the right direction, right, which is on the track. So we do the same thing with the legs. We go ahead and take the veins that are basically going back towards the foot, which is the wrong direction, and we ablate them. Ablate them is another word for elimination. And the way we do it is we get inside the vein. The previous way, of course, was 13, 15 incisions, about 2 inches, 3 inches in length. You can imagine that. 15 cuts, 2 inches in length, just to try to find these little squiggly little things and remove them, sometimes being unsuccessful in finding all of it, and having remnants and having recurrence and so forth. What we do now is we're sure we get it all, because under ultrasound, we get into that vein and we go in through the vein. The patient is sitting there talking about the World Series or hockey or whatever they are, you know, a fan of. And then we put lidocaine around the vein and push a button, push a button, push a button. And radio frequency is delivered to that vein, and it closes it down 96% to 97% of the time. And the problem is solved.
Now, I'm fairly familiar with radio frequency, but in the low back, in the lumbar spine, and they use it to ablate nerves for, and they do it for back pain, et cetera. And I've seen this done, and it's a fairly painless procedure. The patient's awake, fairly mild, and they do it under a fluoroscopy or under an X-ray unit that's always on, I guess. So is that the same way they use it in the venous system?
It's the same kind of energy, and instead of fluoroscopy, we use ultrasound. Mm-hmm. And we're 100% sure, not kind of, not this, not that. When you do venous stripping, and this is not to say how bad venous stripping is, it's all they had, but we're 100% sure when we're in that vein that we're in that vein, and we're pretty much taking care of the problem right there. Versus venous stripping before it was a different, and to compare them right now is just kind of a moot point, because even the people that do venous stripping won't do it. They just say, hey, we're, you know, outdone by this procedure. The important thing to do is to open the ears and eyes of our patient population out there to say, look, if you have this, get it treated.
You know, I just wanted to add, you know, we've been talking about the incidence and prevalence. There's, you know, 25 to 30 million Americans that have venous insufficiency. And of those, less than 2 million seek treatment. You know, there's a misconception that this is a cosmetic procedure. I mean, when we associate, you know, varicose veins and treatment, we associate it with somebody, you know, I like to call it the, you know, Chardonnay sipping, SUV driving soccer mom phenom who, you know, wants her legs to look better in the shorts, which of course we all want. And that is true in a lot of us, me included. But it is truly a functional, debilitating disease, and there is a misconception both on the provider side as well as the patient who feels it. The patient, you know, sort of feels like this is a natural aging progression. You know, maybe you don't sleep as well. Maybe your back hurts. Maybe you don't recover as well. Maybe your legs just are supposed to hurt when you get older. So a lot of it is dust around myths and misconceptions that this is not a true disease.
It sounds to me like it's an opportunity to really improve your quality of life. Yeah, I think, you know, when we look at quality of life, maybe even in the research, they always seem to have one measure. So there's one specific thing. Person has a stroke or a heart attack, and then they quality of life. They have low back pain. They have surgery, and then after that, what's their quality of life? But really, my impression is that it's kind of a combination of all the factors of aging and all the vascular issues and the orthopedic issues and all the things that go on with us that slowly kind of erode that as we age and become seniors. And so this sounds like one of those things that maybe a lot of times people don't always consider as a priority in improving that.
Yeah, it just real quick, and yes, it is, you worded it right, one of those things. People like yourself that deal with the orthopedic issues, people like our ophthalmologists who deal with the cataracts, and people like, it is one of those things in quality of life. Thank God for people like yourself that deal with pain, which is probably the biggest inflictor of, you know, damage to quality of life. Or thank God for people that like ophthalmologists that deal with cataracts and make people see. It is one of those quality of life things. It is not the whole world, but in our world, it is a big part of it.
So when we come back, I'd like to kind of wrap our minds around what type of patient would be appropriate, and what I know we covered it briefly, but what somebody might be experiencing that might signal them that this might start to be an issue, and then maybe briefly cover some things like heart health, vascular health, things that people can do to help themselves prior to getting to this stage. So we'll be back in a minute. This is KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Reading, the home of Free Fire Media.
Today, most beef and poultry products come from factory farms, from animals raised in confinement, fed antibiotics, and genetically modified organisms. Fortunately, there's a local source of humanely raised grass-fed beef, organic chickens, and pastured free-range eggs. The Martin family at the Lazy 69 Ranch near Round Mountain wants you to get back in touch with your food and your farmer. Look for Lazy 69 products at Orchard Nutrition, Holiday Market, Sunset Market, or online at lazy69ranch.com.
For the Black Bear Diner, here are founders Bob Papa Bear Manley and Bruce Sugar Bear Dean.
I'm called the Guru, and I'm going to teach you how to flow life's energy through your chakras so you can view the world through your third eye.
Flow freely through my what's? Hate to break it to you, Mr. Guru, sir, but I've only got two eyes. Hey, Papa Bear, how's the dancing coming?
Ooh, these guys sure know how to have fun.
I know we're trying to find our inner bear and all so we can make Black Bear Diner the best it can be for our customers. But
remember, guys, the journey to enlightenment flows along a path in and out of the surrounding world.
Do you have any idea what this guy's talking about, Papa Bear?
Not really. Do you?
Nope. All I can think about is enjoying a Bigfoot chicken fried steak with mashed potatoes smothered in country gravy.
Yeah, or huge Hungry Man steak and eggs breakfast. It's served all day.
Let's go give our inner bear something to chew on.
Good old-fashioned family food, Black Bear Diner. Black Bear Diner.
TV is not what it used to be. It's way better, thanks to Dish and Woodfill Enterprises. Now you can enjoy your favorite channels for as little as $19.99 a month. Plus, get HBO, Cinemax, Showtime, and Stars free for 3 months. That includes Blockbuster at Home free for 3 months also. Contact Woodfill Enterprises at 232-0843 today. Your local preferred Dish dealer. Limited time offer, prices, packages, and programming subject to change without notice. 24-month agreement required. Cancellation fee and other restrictions apply. Call for details.
Welcome back, Positively Healthy, Third Saturday Edition. We're continued to be joined by Dr. Robert Coronado and Rosa Soto from the Northern Vascular Heart Institute, and we were talking percutaneous procedures for venous insufficiency, varicose veins, although I think that's minimizing the issue a bit in the eyes of some. And what I'd like to know is, so let's see if we can give people an idea of what type of symptoms they might be experiencing, what type of things would lead them into your office, or maybe things that they might want to signal to their primary care provider, and then maybe some of the more specific issues as to what qualifies somebody as a patient in your office. At what point do they become eligible for this type of procedure? Rosa, can you help us with that?
Well, I think that, you know, in today's age, I think we as patients, you know, we need to be advocates and in charge of our own health care. And I take this even a little further than just what we're talking about varicose veins, but you really need to ask questions. You know, you are a consumer. You need to know what medicines you take. You need to know some basic things like what your cholesterol is, and you need to know what your blood pressure is. You need to know what your pulse rate is and what normal. There are some numbers that you probably need to just know. And you should always have your medicines with you, a list of your medicines, because every provider is always going to want to do that. So that's just a little side note. Again, as somebody who is an advocate of their own health, you need to be able to come into your primary care doctor, because we have some wonderful primary care physicians in Reading. We really do. But they're very, very busy. And if you're there, you know, a typical primary care office will see somebody for knee pain, you know, somebody for an ear infection, somebody for a sore throat, somebody for high blood pressure. And so it would be wonderful if they had all the time in the world to just sit there and assess the entire system. So you as a patient need to say, you know, doc, I've had, you know, swelling in my legs. I have had, you know, leg fatigue. I've had skin change. My skin looks a little discolored. At night I get cramps in my legs, you know, all of those things. So you need to be able as a patient to say to your doctor, I think maybe I need to have, you know, an evaluation of my legs. Again, another misconception, if it's cosmetic, it doesn't get, you know, covered by your insurance. This does. It's not cosmetic. So if you have the symptoms, all insurances, after, you know, going through, you know, authorization processes, which our office takes care of, after, you know, conservative measures, which, you know, we'll talk about as well, trying all of these, you know, non-invasive things, all insurances will consider covering this procedure. And by all, I mean Medicare, I mean Medi-Cal, I mean the Blues, I mean all of these insurances that are out there will cover this procedure, because it's a disease. It's not a cosmetic procedure. And so when you ask your provider, when you are being your own advocate and say, you know, I need to have further workup on this, doc, you know, ask for that, you know, further follow-up, further evaluation of some of those symptoms that you're having.
Anything to add to that, Dr. Coronado?
Yeah, bottom line, if you have ropey veins, if you have swelling in your legs that's unexplained, any staining in your skin that is, because it becomes like a tattoo from all the little microbleeds that do occur in this situation, if you have any nocturnal cramps along with swelling, people that just scream in pain and so forth, if you have any restless leg syndrome that you think might be due to this, then please give us a call. We'd be more than happy to evaluate them. It's our true passion.
Okay, so let me ask one more question, and then give us, please, your practice info and how people can get a hold of you, et cetera. And so my last question is, what about for vascular health? If you could give us maybe two or three things that people can do for themselves, and or, you know, maybe something they can get over the counter or something that's effective. I know usually it's a lifestyle change, but so can you comment on that?
Absolutely. You know, our legs, our heart, everything is made to last 100 years. And every time you smoke or every time you do drugs or every time you don't exercise, all these things will take years off that life expectancy. As far as leaving the varicose veins aside and just talking heart healthy stuff that people can use out there on a daily basis, look, unless you walk out in front of a truck, walking will always be good for you. Walking, walking, walking. People that come into our office that are 90, 92, 94 years old, you say, how have you done it? most of them say they worked hard their whole life, but you ask them what they're doing now, and they say, oh, yeah, I go for a walk every day, you know, take my dog or take this and that. So exercise is one of them. Dieting is very important. Very important, more important than you think, especially if you're diabetic, especially if you have a high cholesterol, especially if you have a family history. Boy, you already have a strike against you, which you didn't ask for. You know, you didn't ask for the family history. You didn't choose that. But guess what? Life isn't fair. You have to be more careful than the other person. Medication-wise, do not be afraid of medications in general. Obviously, don't take every pill you can find, and I'm one of those guys that don't like pushing pills on anybody. But sometimes, for all of you that have high blood pressure, take your pills, because it's a numbers game. You don't control the blood pressure. You don't control the cholesterol. You're going to run into trouble. In summary, all the things your grandma told you, you know, eat right, eat your vegetables, work, do exercise, that's basically, in general, what I would recommend.
Fantastic advice. Thank you. So we have a minute left. Please give us all of your practice info. How can patients get a hold of you, your website address? Go ahead.
24-HEART. That's our phone number. That's 244-3278. Any of these issues that we discussed today, I'll keep it short and brief. That's our phone number. More importantly, if you have any concerns that you may have one of these disease processes, go to your primary doctor and say, I know about this, want to get this taken care of.
Rosa Soto, Dr. Robert Coronado from Northern Vascular Heart Institute, thank you very much.
Thank you, Dave, and thank you for having us today. And just one last thing, know your numbers, you know your blood pressure, know your weight, and thanks again for having us today.
Everyone have a great day. This is KCNR, 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
This is KCNR. Hey, it's Rachel Lane with KCNR, 1460 AM, inviting you to join us Sundays at 4 for The Kitchen Sink. It's a show about everything and the kitchen sink. We'll be discussing everything from parenting to science, arts, culture, music, and we'll be highlighting some very important community members right here Sundays at 4 o'clock. Please join us every Sunday, 4 to 5, right here on 1460 AM and KCNR1460.com. It's The Kitchen Sink with me, Rachel Lane, on Free Fire Radio.
Slow down, you move too fast.
Hi, I'm Dr. Trudy Pratt. I've changed my Saturday show, Positively Healthy, to include more local chiropractors. Listen to Dr. Todd Royce, Dr. Dave Paris, Dr. Maria Salas, and me. We're on Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock. Be listening to Positively Healthy, and you might just learn something that could change your life. Again, that's Positively Healthy here on KCNR 1460.
Rachel Lane with KCNR 1460 AM, inviting you to join us Sundays at 4 for The Kitchen Sink. It's a show about everything and the kitchen sink. We'll be discussing everything from parenting to science, arts, culture, music, and we'll be highlighting some very important community members right here Sundays at 4 o'clock. Please join us every Sunday, 4 to 5, right here on 1460 AM and KCNR1460.com. It's The Kitchen Sink with me, Rachel Lane, on Free Fire Radio.
Slow down, you move too fast.
Hi, I'm Dr. Trudy Pratt. I've changed my Saturday show, Positively Healthy, to include more local chiropractors. Listen to Dr. Todd Royce, Dr. Dave Paris, Dr. Maria Salas, and me. We're on Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock. Be listening to Positively Healthy, and you might just learn something that could change your life. Again, that's Positively Healthy here on KCNR 1460.
If you're tired of high air conditioning bills, call Phil Carpenter's Air Conditioning and Heating, your Daikin DNA dealer, today at 223-3285 or visit them at gopcac.com. See what their customers are saying and saving on their Daikin units. Go ductless today. Be cool and comfortable. Call 223-3285 and get ready to save up to one half off of your air conditioning energy bill. Phil Carpenter's Air Conditioning and Heating. That's 223-3285.
Hi, this is Trish Clark from the Frontier Senior Center in Anderson, inviting you to join us for a prime rib dinner prepared by the Anderson Rotary on September 8th, 6 p.m. at Fusaro Hall at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. Music and entertainment will be provided by Shasta County's own Chris McCandless. Great raffle, gifts, fun and dancing. Event is being held as a fundraiser for New Floors Frontier Senior Center. Call 365-3254 for tickets. Hope to see you there.
Shasta County Shasta Library Foundation presents Taste of Brazil on Saturday, September 8th at the Holiday Inn in Reading. Taste of Brazil is a unique evening featuring Brazilian cuisine, beverages, entertainment, and live and silent auctions. Proceeds benefit the Shasta Library Foundation Endowment Fund and special projects at the Shasta Public Libraries in Reading, Anderson, and Burney. The public is invited to come enjoy this fabulous event. To reserve your seat or table now, call 246-0146 or go to www.shastalibraryfoundation.org for more information.
Good morning. This is Rachel Lane with KCNR1460.com. Thank you for joining us for a replay of Dr. Trudy Pratt's Positively Healthy with Dr. David. We are going to take a moment to update you on some fire information. There was just recently, firefighters are responding to a mobile home on fire in the Clear Creek Mobile Home Park. That's according to the Reading Record Searchlight. Also, the fire called the Goff Fire has closed a portion of the Pacific Crest Trail today, according to the U.S. Forest Service. Looks like the trail is closed from Highway 96 to 9 miles north of Lily Pad Lake. Trail hikers and equestrians can go around the road using different routes. And, of course, if you have any questions about fires, there's a great website called InciWeb, INCI Web. It's Incident Information System, and it will give you all the information about all the fires in California. The Reading Fire in the Lassen Volcanic National Park is an active fire with 27,777 acres burned. The Chips Fire, another big one up there in the Plumas National Forest, has now burned 44,343 acres. There's some other ones here and there throughout Butte County. The Mill Fire is looking like it's maybe being contained. It's just a very smoky kind of situation we've got on our hands, especially as you get closer to the mountains up near Shingletown and whatnot. We supposedly should have some weather that will clear out some of those fires and some of the smoke. Hopefully we'll get a little bit of rain. We can only cross our fingers on that one. Another story that we're looking at today, this is according to the Reading Record Searchlight, a man who he was a drug dealer and he was trying to make a sale. It went awry and he called the cops. So that's kind of an interesting story right there. We are going to take a look at your North State weather. It's looking like today will be about 101 with lows in the 60s. Tomorrow, just about the same, and for your work week, we're looking at 101 on Monday, then cooling down. I know that's an ironic thing to say, but cooling down to in the 90s or so by Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. So it looks like we should have a pretty nice couple of days. Hope you enjoy yourselves. We've got Nancy Sutton Pierce up next with her incredible show called The Conscious Living Show. We're streaming live on the internet as well at KCNR1460.com. That's KCNR1460. We're going to be talking about intuition in just about 5 minutes. Please stay tuned. We've got Fox News Report up next, and then Miss Nancy Sutton Pierce with Intuition and What Do You Do? Make sure to call us 530-605-4567 and join us at the chat pack at KCNR1460.com. This is KCNR Shasta Reading, the home of Free Fire Media. We've got the Conscious Living Show on the way right here. Stay tuned.
A little less conversation, a little more action, please. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me. A little more bite, a little less bark. A little less fight, a little more spark. Close your mouth and open up your heart, and maybe satisfy me. Satisfy me, baby. Maybe close your eyes and listen to the music. Dig through the summer breeze. It's a grooving night, and I can show you how to use it. To come along with me and put your mind at ease. Hey! Less conversation, a little more action. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me. A little more bite, a little less bark. A little less fight, a little more spark. Close your mouth and open up your heart, and maybe satisfy me. Satisfy me, baby. Come on, baby, I'm tired of talking. Grab your coat and let's start walking. Come on, come on.
Come on, come on.
Come on, come on.
Come on, come on.
Don't procrastinate, don't articulate. Girl, it's getting late. You just
Hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567. Thank you for listening.
Ready to go? I'm Pam Puso. It's a hot-button issue taking center stage on the campaign trail today, Medicare.
Their plan would put Medicare on track to be ended as we know it.
President Obama in Windham, New Hampshire.
It would be an entirely different plan, a plan in which you could not count on health care because it would have to be coming out of your pocket.
The president saying his plan for Medicare would save money by cracking down on fraud and waste. Republican vice presidential candidate Paul Ryan defending his ticket's Medicare proposal.
Our plan does not affect the benefits for people who are in or near retirement. It's a promise that was made, and it's a promise that must be kept.
Ryan in Central Florida at the Villages Retirement Community, accompanied by his 78-year-old mother, the Wisconsin congressman also saying the program will have to be overhauled so it'll be there for his kids, too. The identity of an off-duty Philadelphia police officer.